Before I begin, there's another announcement, which probably none of you all are aware of. One of the most exciting, challenging, intimidating, overwhelming things in this journey of confirming the call as a pastor through all the process. It is an unbelievable amount of work. So every pastor that you see, they have put their blood, sweat, and tears. The final part of this is this oral examination period where you're brought before the floor of presbytery and they can ask you anything. It is an intense examination, and Matthew O'Hearn just finished his. And so we're proud of him. Well done, Matthew. It is not easy, and it is such a great thing. So, Matthew, if you want to see blood, sweat, and death and joy, just join Matt at Parkland Hospital as he's the chaplain there. So it's pretty amazing journey. So we're thankful for you, brother. So this is such good stuff y'all are doing. And I wish I could have been really at all the classes. So I would love for you to tell me some of the things that you have already discussed and maybe what is a spiritual discipline. Okay, so can you just... I don't have a mic, but we can speak up. What have y'all, what is some topic that y'all have already discussed? Serving. Say it again?
Serving.
Serving, okay, great. Have you ever thought about that as a spiritual discipline?
Yes.
You're mature, very, okay. Anyone else? What other things?
Fasting.
Fasting, yes. We all know that one's a good one. And fasting is quite the challenge, right, in today's world. All around us, so that's good. Anyone else? What other spiritual discipline?
Spiritual meditation.
Yes, okay. Have you ever done that before?
Not until we talked about it.
Well done, okay, excellent. That goes really well with silence and solitude. So can anyone tell me what a spiritual, I could just kind of, y'all, duck, goose. What is a spiritual discipline? Anyone? What is this thing that we're talking about all semester long? What? Yes.
It's like battling against your flesh and trying to put yourself in a spot where God can, I guess, get you through what your flesh doesn't want you to do naturally.
Okay, awesome. And then, to what end? What is the goal?
To glorify God.
Okay, and. Yes. Okay, good. Okay. I'm going
to
piggyback on that a little bit. Good job. Thank you for speaking out. Anyone want to, what's your name?
Max.
Thanks, Max. Courageous. Anyone want to add to that, what Max said? Or just a different facet of it? What would you say?
I would just say that spiritual disciplines are all about abiding in Christ and the three means of grace, right? The
word, yes,
of God, prayer, and the Lord's Supper, the sacraments.
Yes. Yeah, beautiful. Okay, love that. What is the chief end of man? Do you know that? That's right. And so is it two chief ends or one? It is. It's just one. This is a little bit wonky here. It is just one. So glorifying him and enjoying him are the same. They are married. They are at one. So it's helpful, right? Because like sometimes we, and I love what John Piper does and Jonathan Edwards before him and so many other brilliant people where they, and flip it and to say, you can glorify the Lord by enjoying him forever. And it's just really helpful because all this that we're doing is highly relational, right? We're not climbing the summit of spiritual perfection or sanctification or glorification to the point like all these disciplines, but they do what Max was saying and so much more. They put us in the place. They create the environment for us to receive, to accept, to be given the means of grace. Gets us there. But God is the giver of grace because he loves us and he is pursuing this relationship to us. I just didn't want us to miss that. Richard Foster defines spiritual disciplines this way: God-given disciplines of the spiritual life as a means of receiving His grace. The discipline allows us to place ourselves before God so that He can transform us. And you see this really in a couple places. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is talking about he planted, Apollos watered, but God creates the growth. So he's pulling from an agricultural and farming, and it's like every year, any farmers here? Anyone? Okay. Really? Yes, bro, yes. I love it. Okay. You can teach us a lot. Anyone who's ever done that, it's like it's kind of by faith, you know. I know we've got the super farm agra kind of world, but of science, but you're putting that in the ground, and it's not a guarantee necessarily that that will bring the fruit. The seed is happening. God has to do the growth. Another one is perfect is Elijah. And this, both these fit perfectly into what we're talking about today, as well as every other spiritual discipline. And so like 1 Kings 18, you have Elijah, right? The Lord calls him to the mountain and then they go to war basically with the prophets of Baal. It is an intense, bloody chapter. And we kind of forget how many people died, all those prophets of Baal, and how violent it was. But the Lord called Elijah to the mountain. And in that calling to the mountain, this whole, you should read it if you haven't read it. It's an awesome story. It is one of those stories like, you know, like when you're in elementary school, you're like, yes, this is amazing. And so God, they create an altar for the fire, and Elijah puts water on it and soaks the wood. And he steps back and he's like, God's got to light the fire. It's up to him. So he stacks the wood. He creates the challenge, but only the Lord brings the fire, and the Lord does bring the fire. Then, after that, you would think Elijah's walking around with swagger, like, God, I can do anything with God, you know, but he goes into a serious, serious time of depression. Then, when this is so amazing. So he goes into this cave, and I'm going to read this. It's like, and this is later on in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. And don't you wish we had more of these amazing moments today? But the Lord calls him and says, go and stand out on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart. I can't even imagine what this was like. Shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. So dramatic, powerful, and yet that is not where the Lord was speaking. After the winds came an earthquake. Basically, it was every meteorological nightmare could possibly happen to this one prophet way back in history of Israel. And every time something like that happened, earthquake, wind, fire, the Lord wasn't into it. And then something happened. It's sort of it's actually opposite of what we think. In the fire, after all that, came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave and listened to the Lord. So after all the drama and all the noise and all the violence of the weather, came this very still, quiet voice. And then the Lord spoke. And so in our world, we are so filled with noise that we need to get away. And you know this. I mean, you have 10,000 right now. If your phone or anything, it's like it constantly is going off, and you're probably battling not to look at it right now. And it's amazing how much that is distracting us, just like Elijah. So slowing down and entering into these seasons of solitude and silence, they really go together. That is what we're going to focus on. And we have so many examples of this in the scripture. But it's really important that it is it for our souls, it can transform us by retreating away, coming away in solitude and silence, and doing what is really unnatural for a lot of us, for probably most of us, in the quiet, and then we hear the Lord's voice. His word comes alive to us. This is critical for us. And it's, you know what's so encouraging? Throughout all of the history of the church, you see this practice happening in all parts of the world, in all parts of Eastern Orthodox and Coptic and different Greek Orthodox and then all the monasteries. It doesn't matter where you are around the world, you see this practice of solitude and silence as a means to engaging with the Lord and listening from the Lord. It's everywhere. And so we are entering into a deep stream of gifts from Christ himself and from the scripture and the church. So it's not, we're not manufacturing this. And I think I have to zero in on a couple of really key passages, I think. And so it's kind of shocking because when you see Christ doing this, once you look at it in the scriptures, we kind of skip over some of those little transition where Christ is going from one place to another, and you're kind of looking at the story and you skip over exactly when he stops and he retreats and he goes off to a silent place or a desolate place, depending on where you see the scripture, and then something dramatic happens after that. But it's always these little moments. And so in Mark 6, Jesus says to the disciples, come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. In Luke 5, he says, as the crowds gathered around him to hear him, he was healing them. But then after that, he withdrew to a desolate place to pray. And then, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us, hey, if you want to learn how to pray, this is what you need to do. You need to go out into the busiest street. You need to go to New York City in the middle of Times Square, and you need to be distracted by 10,000 things, and that is how you'll pray. Oh, wait, that's not in the scripture, is it? Okay, that is not it. No, he says go into an inner room, a quiet room that's bunkered away from everything else. Go into that room, shut that door, and pray to your Father in secret as you are in secret. This little prayer closet kind of idea. And then in Mark 1, you see Jesus rising up very early while it's still dark. He departed and left to a desolate place where he prayed. This idea of being pulled away into the silence, into the solitude, into the wilderness, this is, you see this all over. Moses did this, right? He fled Egypt. Of course, a little different. He murdered someone, so he's running for his life. But he still got the benefit of being able to go into the wilderness and embrace. You see this with Jesus 4, when he, as soon as he's baptized, he is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to go pray. When I was in Israel, I was talking to a Messianic Jew, and we were looking over the wilderness in this remote part of Israel, and I was going, this is so different than what I imagined the wilderness to be. And he goes, we often say the wilderness is a place of listening. It's a place where we hear the Lord is speaking to us. And it just kind of blew my mind about what the wilderness is. And so in praying in silence and solitude, this is what Jesus did often. And so enough said. So let's close in prayer. It almost feels that way because all of a sudden, I'm going, this is not just like this thing over here that's like a luxury called the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude. It becomes like a critical thing in our souls. And so I just think about the era that we're in, the era of this thing. It has changed so much of our lives. And woe to the generation a few years younger than you. At least y'all have most of you have a sense of like, there was a time before an iPhone. You know, like you have some kind of, but then the generation after you, it's like they have no idea, right? They just think everything is totally technology based on their iPhone. I want you to think about the gift that silence and solitude has to detox us from our technology, the noise. Don't y'all feel that? Don't y'all feel like I'm so sick of my phone. I'm so sick of my phone going off with 10,000 political ads, right? Or 10,000, hey, I got this great job for you. Call me now, I'm a recruiter, you know. And just the garbage that comes through all of our, I hate email. Don't email me, please. I mean, it's like, I'll let you down. I know I will. I will let you down. It will be a couple of days. And because I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like, how does this, like rabbits, they're just multiplying. And my computer, I'm like, what's going on here? But this is a new era for us, right? We are a generation in a short amount of world history that has been bombarded with this thing of technology to so much where it's overwhelming us. This is why silence and solitude is becoming critical, critical to us. So this is very interesting. A brilliant man from a time ago, Blaise Pascal. Anybody ever heard of this guy, Blaise? Yes, yes. Amazing, amazing person. He goes, there are three words that describe the human condition: boredom, inconsistency, and anxiety. And do you know when he wrote that? He was born in 1623 and he died in 1662. A 17th century brilliant man. It reminds us all that the soul of man really hasn't changed much, but our environments and our language and our technology maybe have. But he said this is just amazing. Pascal said, all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit in a room alone, quietly. Just think about that. And there's a whole, you can Google it and read the whole quote of that, but it's really amazing when you think about that. And you know what's even more meaningful is that he is the one who himself said, I did it too. He realized that he frittered away a good deal of his time through gambling, through trivial pursuits of different things, and he did all of these for diversions. So he would not have to think, this is what it says, what does God exist? Why am I here? What is the life after death? What are all these major, huge things in our lives? And Pascal himself admitted he used all the distractions to keep him away from the big stuff, the most important. And so it is with him, so it is with us. There's a lot of Pascals in here, right? A lot of brilliant people, right? We have 10,000 things vying for us. So we absolutely know this. And we're feeling the pinch of it, you know? And so I'm going to give us a few practical things, and in interest of time, I'm going to skip one thing. But I want you to think about this. Other than John Paul, is anyone else in here that's married? Anyone? Okay. Pardon me for using a marriage illustration. 30 years marriage for my wife and I, okay? That's really awesome, and it's kind of a miracle. So, how many years for you?
16.
Awesome. Okay. So, I want you to think about this. This is just, again, I want all of us not to get away from the relational aspect. Like when you love people and care about certain people, you pursue time with them. And a lot of people, you've heard this before, how do you spell love? T-I-M-E. And you're creating space to be with people that you love. And by doing that, deepen that intimacy. And relationships matter so much. Don't let the stuff of this world interfere with those relationships. But, and so it is with our incredible loving Savior that personally wants to get away with us. So if you think of it in terms of like, what do we do on special events? Maybe, how many of y'all done like bachelor and bachelorette party kind of things, right? So not everyone gets invited, right? Only just a few, right? So the folks that are in the wedding or just those that inner circle of friends, right? And they tend to go away somewhere, right? They, especially for the women, and they go to Cabo or something like that, you know, and they do crazy things. But anyway, but the reality is, why we go away, we kind of get away to go and have these little special moments and experiences. I want you to think about moments of solitude and silence in that regard of like, the people I love, my Savior that I love the most, is inviting me. He's inviting you and me to come away with him to a quiet place, solitude, just the two of us, you and our Lord Jesus, to be together. That's glorifying him and enjoying him forever. In fact, I'm glorifying him by enjoying him. And so as we enjoy that time away, that sacred space, my wife and I are going to do 30 years. We're going to take a few days, and we're going to go away by ourselves. We just don't do that with everybody, right? It's just the people that matter most. Jesus is inviting you, just like the disciples, to come away with him to a desolate place to come and rest. I don't want you and I to forget that. Because we can get caught up in all the stuff. Like, oh no, I have all these spiritual disciplines. Now I've got to do, I have to fast, I have to worship, I have to do all these things like service. Now you're just adding more things of solitude and silence. Seriously, stop the madness, right? It's like more things to do. And it's like, no, don't think of it then. Think of it in terms of coming away with the Lord at his invitation. And I think that's so important. He's coming to you, and he's inviting you to come away. There's 100 passages that we could go and look at this, and maybe we'll look at some in just a second. But I just want us to think about this. So a few tips, a few things to think about, and then I'm going to break up, and I'm going to give you a big handout, okay? So if you've never done this before, it's perfect God timing, especially if you're a man, to try the solitude Saturday, right? It's, you don't have to travel very far. You come here, you do it together, and that is pretty awesome. But if you've never tried it before, you got to try in like just little bites, you know, find a space. And literally, why is this so hard? But it is so hard. And put your phone away, turn it off. I mean, turning it off is actually probably the best thing you could do. And being still and take 15 minutes and just don't talk and just listen. It helps if you have a little bit of scripture that you're kind of reading, but don't get into a Bible study, okay? It's very easy to all of a sudden go, well, what does that mean? It's like, let the word come, let it invite you in. Maybe I'm gonna give you some passages to look at. Listen to those passages, and then be silent, and just let the uncomfortableness, and it is uncomfortable, it is awkward, right? And we are hardwired to have noise 24/7 in us, but just try it for 15 minutes, try it for 20 minutes, and you need to find a space that hopefully is away from roommates, away from other people. It can be nature's awesome. It can be, but we live in a concrete jungle, so there's a lot of noise. There is a lot of crazy noise around us, right? You can go to the Arboretum, you can go other places, but there's still tons of people all around, kind of like wah, 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 you know. And so next thing you know, you're like distracted, and I just want you to know that as a very very attention deficit person that I am, who fought that diagnosis for years. After finally the fourth time, I finally had to surrender and go, okay, I have attention deficit. And so, but I don't have the hyperactivity part, but I do have the horrible, inattentive, just mind-blowing distraction, right? So I am like squirrel, but I will be, if I'm not careful, I will beat myself up because I'm not able to slow myself down. But if you can, if I can do it, you can do it. Okay, so if we can find, if the space becomes critical, the time becomes important, and the cumulative value of doing it. So it's not just a one-off event. So you are looking to create rhythms in all the spiritual disciplines of that. You know, where you're gonna, you know, you, yes, it's kind of like having your quiet time, but you're expanding it to where you're entering into silence with no other distractions, and you're listening, and it's really hard. It becomes deafening at times. And so has anyone tried to go 30 minutes without any noise and just listen? Anyone tried to do that? Yeah, way to go, wait, awesome, okay. And so it's in the effort, it's in the trying, you're building, you're putting the wood down, you're building all the environment for the Lord to light the fire. That you're stacking wood when you do that. You create the space by putting it in your calendar, by blocking it off, by having a space that you won't be interrupted, turning your phone off, and then listening. And the first time you might do it, and you're like, that was a waste of time, you know, because you're like, I got nothing. But it's in the cumulative, it's in the little bits and working your way up to times. The longer you go, the more margin, all of a sudden, the Lord begins to speak. And so in a perfect world, you would have your journal and the Bible, and you would read and then listen for the Lord to kind of speak through the word in such a way. And so in doing that, it becomes profound. And I'm going to give you a handout that's going to kind of unpack all this. But I'll tell you I can guarantee you what's going to happen. The enemy of your soul is going to attack you because he will use the world, the flesh, and the devil will go after you, and you're not going to want to slow down because it's so hard. Like everything is perform, drive, achieve, right? And so everything is hardwired in us. And so we have this toxic soup that we're raised in, and it's amazing. So the first trip to China I led with high schoolers, we did not have cell phones because no one had international plans back then. This is way back. And so in that group, all these different high schoolers from different parts, different high schools, and even same high school, they didn't really know each other, but they didn't have this getting in the way. And all of a sudden, we're in another part of the world, we're in China, and we need each other. And we are like bonding together. And no one is like, everyone's kind of laying down there like, I'm cool and you're not, and all that ridiculous high school, middle school stuff. And everyone's kind of present. And all of a sudden there's relationships start happening because there's nothing distracting it. We're not anywhere near anything else and we need each other. That really is, and by the way, then 2 years later, when everyone started getting international plans and started bringing their phones, it changed. I was like, God, this is not the way it should be. Everyone started like, doing what we all know. The difference was startling to me. If you've ever been on a mission trip where you're kind of removed from technology or in a remote cabin in the woods, and you go a day or two, all of a sudden you get it. You're like, this is incredible how much, like all of a sudden this irritation comes up for like the first season, and then you're like, what is going on? I'm restless. I'm irritable. I'm discontent. I want to be distracted by my stuff. And so, but that is reminding us that we have so many things that are going against us. And so solitude feels like it's not normal. It feels, silence feels horrible and deafening at times. And you kind of have to detox a little bit. I used to, when we would go on silent retreats. We would lead JP's been, we've done these a lot. We went to this perfect place in Colorado, and we'd go 3 days. And I would walk around and I would feel like I have my phone in my pocket and it was vibrating, but it wasn't. It was like the phantom, you know, like I was like, do I have my phone? What is that? You know, and I was like, I am so addicted. What is wrong with me? I don't even have my phone, but I feel like I have my phone. I feel like, what's going on inside of me? So you just know that you're going to have a thousand awkward and uncomfortable things that are going to get after you. And so so I want us to think about all of these spiritual disciplines in terms of this profound invitation from the Lord to come away with him and to sit at his feet. This is like Mary and Martha, right? And be Mary and not be like Martha, running around frazzled, but just sit at Jesus' feet and receive. The principal acts of faith are resting and receiving. It's not about achieving. It's not about, you know, like, I'm going to be super spiritual. I'm going to win the spiritual discipline award for, you know, for ambassadors. You know, it's like, you got to, we have to unwire all that stuff. Like, we have to have the Holy Spirit to come and do that. So I have a handout, wherever that is. Thank you. If you wouldn't mind passing that out. This handout is a good first attempt to try to consolidate a lot of wisdom and bring it down into very helpful. So it's addressing the how solitude and silence come together, Henry Nouwen article, and then also the spiritual disciplines. I think this one's Richard Foster is the second one. And so I want you to take a look at this, and then I'm going to have you talk about it around the table. While I'm doing that, I want to ask if there are any questions, and as I'm communicating this, trying to create space in your lives, in margin, in your lives, where you build in solitude and silence in little bites and kind of sprinkle them throughout your week. And it's literally as simple as unlike a lot of other spiritual disciplines, you're just trying not to talk and not perform, but just listen. I have one. Thank you very much. Thank you. And so are there any questions about it in this sort of shotgun? Yes.
Do you have thoughts or scripture about when we're in solitude, helping us determine our thoughts versus maybe what God says?
Yes. Okay. That is one of... You just asked probably one of the number one questions that every one of us struggle with, and that is this me, or is the Lord speaking to me, or is this my own stuff? You know, it's coming out. And so I'd have, yes. Well, the good news is that nothing that would be coming... If it's coming from you, you know that it would be kind of rubbing against Scripture. And I have another passage, but I don't have it in here. But I would say you think about, you know, things like, you know, Galatians 5, you know, it's like the fruit of the Spirit. If it's anything contrary to that or Scripture, then you know, okay, this is, you know, it's like, I want to go do something horrible or what is it? And I know that's not what you're asking, so I'm not going to oversimplify. More maybe in the terms like a Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, like, and you know, bring the Lord into everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in every way, and he will make your path straight. Is entering into the time of silence and solitude and go, Father, I am listening to you. It is my intention to set apart this time. Let nothing else, that the only voice I hear be you. And so trying to really designate that I am calling on you, Lord, to work in me. I am going to the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit that you may speak to me. and let nothing else, another voice. And then if you have a doubt, you can also double check with a good friend. You know, it's like, this is what I'm thinking, but is that God or not? But that also goes into the whole like discerning God's will question too. But I love that question because that happens all the time. People actually get kind of freaked out sometimes by this because as they do it more and more, you begin to go, I think the Lord is speaking to me in through his word, but in an application that I'm not 100% sure, but the Lord is wooing me, taking me to a place. And so we're like, oh, okay. This is incredible. And so that will happen. You'll begin to hear the Lord moving in you like Elijah, the still small voice that's coming in at you. That's what we want, right? We want the Lord to personally be lifting scripture into us in a way that's just like, go here. He's moving us to things, you know? And also, with that, I'll answer one more part too, which is really, really helps to enter into the time of silence and solitude by first having confession and kind of like, Lord, search me, O God, know my heart. See if there's any anxious thoughts in me. See if there's any, is there any sin that's, is there anything that's keeping me from you? And I confess that to you and be still and just kind of let it sit for a minute. And just let it come. Let him slowly reveal, confess that, and then enter into your time of solitude and silence. Really helps to have that. These two little articles are very helpful, and they acknowledge this. And what I want to do is, on the second to last page, and this is not the best copy, by the way, there's like this, it has number 2 through 6, and this gives you some great tips and guidelines, maybe for the first time you do it, about how to go into silence, how to help your mind, how to, you know, you can move into from 30 minutes to half a day, you know, all the way through. It's very helpful. So this is what I want you to do. In our time together, first thing I want you to do is just discuss this passage in Matthew, okay? So I want you write this down. So in Mark 6:30 through 32, write that down, Mark 6:30 through 32, and then 6:45 through 46. So you're just looking at a very few verses. Mark chapter 6, 30 and 32, and then chapter 6, 45 and 46. And I just want you to discuss around the table what Jesus is doing, okay? That really, like, talk about what is this thing that he's doing, and you see this all throughout the Gospels, by the way. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 32, and then in the same chapter, 45 and 46, okay? And then after that, I want you to look at this page here and talk about, can I do this around the group? Like, what's good about this? What's bad about this? I want you to actually like go, what does it take for me to actually do what these steps 2 through 6? So use the scripture, Mark chapter 6, to help you see the precedent that Jesus gives us. And then the application is your second thing, which is reading this and asking yourself on the table, what would it take for me to do this? How can I do this?
Guys, spend the next 13-15 minutes, and then we'll come back up.
I'm going to give you one more minute, okay? And then we're going to close it.
Those are more.
All right, let me get your attention, and we're going to wrap up here. I hope as you see those very small little passages, you see the way Jesus needed to leave the chaos and go to a quiet place to commune with the Lord. How much more do you and I? I mean, just how much more? Once you begin to see this in the scriptures, you'll see it all the everywhere. And Psalm 62, the psalmist David in this one is crying out, "For God alone, I wait for you in silence." Right there. For from him comes my salvation. He is my rock and my salvation. I will not be shaken. For God alone, my soul is await for him in silence. My hope comes from him. And Psalm 62, you see this throughout throughout all of Scripture. You'll see this, you know, waiting for him in silence. So as we wrap up, and I'm going to close this in prayer, is to think about this, okay? I've given you a very distilled but very helpful two different things, one from Richard Foster and one from Henry Nouwen on silence. Let it be an invitation to you. The next thing is that you're going to have to put this in your calendar, on your phone, somewhere. Because like I've put it in like three times for this month, and I've gotten broadsided 100. I can't tell you how frustrating it is. It's like third time's a charm. So I'm hoping that that next week I will. But I put it in my calendar, and then something happens, and it attacks. I'm talking about a full day retreat is what I'm talking about. But you can put it in for 15, 30, 45 minutes. If you're a man, then you want to join us on this coming Saturday. Perfect opportunity. God has set the thing up for us. What a gift. And if you're a woman, you can come too, but you just do it somewhere else, right? So, but the opportunity now is before us to, you will dismiss this and blow this off if you just do it once and like, it didn't work. It's the cumulative impact that cultivates the soul. And that is the key thing. And so read the packet, practice it, look at the action items 2 through 6, and let me close this in prayer. Father, have your way with us and woo us and protect us from 10,000 distractions and draw us to you, to listen to you. Please, O Lord, protect us from the enemy and protect us from busyness, that we miss you. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.